This is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with WGBH Radio in Boston.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick. And here's a question. How many times has your friend or your husband or your girlfriend rented a car while you're along for the ride? I can do some of the driving, you say. Oh, but your name isn't on the rental agreement. Now you do it anyway. Well, we all do it. But you probably didn't think that that mundane, everyday little scenario could land you in the Supreme Court. But take the case of Terrence Byrd, pulled over by a Pennsylvania state trooper in the summer of 2014. Byrd, the officer said, was coasting in the left lane for too long, and anyway, he was driving a rental car. Rental cars can be a little suspicious to cops, and also tempting targets. So the officer pulls Byrd over.
And then when the state trooper discovers that Terrence Byrd, the driver, is driving a rental car with the permission of the renter, but not listed on the rental agreement, the state trooper decides he can search the car without Byrd's consent.
That's Adam Liptak, Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times. Now, that search that Adam describes reveals 49 bricks of heroin in the trunk, and Terrence Byrd goes to prison. So, in oral arguments today, the justices will ponder this question. Did that little technicality that we all violate, whose name is on the rental agreement, mean that Terrence Byrd and you, an American citizen, lose the expectation of privacy? Does the Fourth Amendment guarantee against unreasonable search and seizure only apply if you stick to the rules? Well, Adam Liptak says, according to the government's argument, it does.
The government's position is that the rental car agreement counts. That if you violate the rental car agreement and you're not supposed to be driving it, you have no, in legal terms, reasonable expectation of privacy in anything in the car. And that's not inconsistent with some older Supreme Court decisions, but it will come as a surprise to the more than 100 million people who rent cars every year and let their partners, girlfriends, boyfriends, children, parents, friends drive that car, knowing perhaps that it violates the rental agreement and that they may be subject to some financial liability, but probably not realizing that those drivers forfeit their Fourth Amendment rights, or so the government would have it.
We should probably point out that that search wasn't just insubstantial because 49 bricks of heroin were found in the car along with some body armor. Terrence Byrd wound up in prison for 10 years behind that search. So Adam Liptak, it raises a couple of important questions. You know, people, when they drive their cars and they're pulled over, are sometimes advised, hey, you know, police can sometimes be very polite, say, hey, mind if I look in the trunk? You don't have to say yes, because unless they have probable cause, they're not going to be able to search that car. And in this case, the government is saying that Terrence Byrd didn't even have a right to say no.
That's exactly right. So first of all, there's that news you can use point, which you just made, that without your consent, the police don't have the unlimited right to search your car. And then this case raises the question of, well, what if you're not on the rental agreement? And the Supreme Court's going to tell us the answer. You said a second ago, Todd, and it's important, that a lot of heroin was found in the trunk. And that will cause a lot of people to go, well, I guess it's not a problem then because the guy was a criminal. But the Fourth Amendment really wants to look at this question, as lawyers would say, ex ante, before the fact. You either have a right or you don't. And what the police find after the fact shouldn't shade your decision of whether you possess that constitutional right.
Now, Adam, what's really at stake here? Of course, there's the Fourth Amendment right and rental agreements. I suppose it could be just as simple as putting a little caveat emptor on the front of every rental agreement if the Supreme Court rules that Terrence Byrd could be searched, and just tell people, hey, just so you know, if your name's not on here, you can still be searched. Won't it be as simple as that?
I guess that's right, and I guess some people will continue to take their chances. Some of the briefs in the case do point out that that would disproportionately affect poor people who turn out to rent a lot of rental cars. Many more cars are rented at neighborhood locations than at airports, and many more cars are rented by black people than white people. And if you give police the incentive to pull over rental cars as opposed to other cars, knowing that there's a decent chance you can search them without the driver's consent, that's going to have a disproportionate effect on poor people and minorities, or so these briefs say.
Oh, that's a fascinating point, that the police could be aware that a rental car is a softer target, and that would be potentially an incentive to search more low-income people, more African-Americans.
And you know, in this case, the trooper testified that one of the reasons he pulled out in the first place was because it was a rental car. And I don't know whether he was thinking, hey, if I pull this car over, I have a good chance that I'll be able to search it if the person isn't listed on the rental agreement. But it could have figured in his thinking. And a Supreme Court case holding that the rental car agreement's boilerplate fine print overcomes the Fourth Amendment would have this incentive effect on cops to go after rental cars.
And Adam, what do we know about this court's attitude to Fourth Amendment cases like this one? Are they likely to take the view that the fine print of the rental agreement is what's important here and not the fact that if you're driving a car down the road and the police stop you, that you have rights not to be searched without your consent or a warrant?
You know, it really is going to turn on the justices' intuitions. Some of them are going to be quite formalistic and think the contract counts. It's true, of course, that if you're driving a stolen car, nobody thinks you have a reasonable expectation of privacy. And in some general formal sense, maybe this is a little like a stolen car. You're not authorized to be driving it. You're not supposed to be driving it, the rental car company would say. So that's one school of thought. Another school of thought, though, is that in the real world, nobody thinks that driving a car with the renter's permission is a crime. So that would point the other way. We've also lost Justice Scalia, who was a pretty strong pro-Fourth Amendment guy, replaced by Justice Gorsuch, about whom we know less on the Supreme Court. So all I would bet for sure is that it'll be closely divided, but it's a hard one to call.
Adam, forget about rental agreements for a second. I borrowed my friend's car the other day. He said, yeah, go ahead and take it. I suppose if I had been pulled over for driving at 10 and 2 and camping in the left lane, it could have gone poorly for me?
I suppose, although an element of the argument would drop out. There's nobody in the background who rented the car to your friend, gave the car to your friend, who has some control over it still. If your friend has complete control over it and then cedes that control to you, I think you ought to be okay. A different kind of analogy would be, what if your landlord says you can't have overnight guests? And there are leases that say that, and people routinely violate them. And you're not at home. Your overnight guest gets a knock at the door. Can the police come in and search your apartment because that person's not authorized to be there? That's a pretty close analogy to this rental car case. And I think it would make a lot of people uncomfortable to say that the violation of a lease means you give up your Fourth Amendment rights.
The Fourth Amendment, the protection against unreasonable search and seizure, and the commonality of rental agreements in the United States. Adam Liptak, Supreme Court reporter for The New York Times. Thanks again, Adam.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.